bless you this evening. Maybe we can start the service off tonight by singing the hymn, Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross. There are precious fountain, flows for all the healing, free for all the healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain.
Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you this evening also, Lord, for
members in our family, Lord, who are still not saved. We ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll be merciful, and Lord, convict their hearts of sin, and Lord, lead them to repentance, for Lord, indeed, it's the goodness of the Lord that leads men to repentance. And we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that indeed you'll save them. Lord, for indeed, Lord, that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We pray, Lord God, you'll give us an expectation, Lord. Lord, that we will indeed truly be waiting, Lord, not just be a saying, not be something that's familiar, but Lord, we will have a genuine expectation that you're coming again soon. Lord, that every one of us will be ready. Lord, that when you would come, Lord, that we would be ready to go with you, Lord. Lord, we just pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you will indeed, Lord, fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. We pray, Lord God, for those young ones in our family, Lord, who's not yet received the Holy Ghost, we pray that you'll give them an earnest, Lord, expectation to receive power from heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask you, Lord, also that, Lord, each man and woman and boy and girl will realize the importance, Lord, of that anointing in their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, also that you'll help us, Lord, to be a fully functioning New Testament church with gifts and signs and wonders following in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray now, Lord God, that you'll receive unto yourself glory, honor and praise, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. And once again, we think of those that we think that might be laid aside sick. Lord, you're the great physician. We pray that you'll touch and heal them. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful testimonies of late we've read and heard and seen, Lord Jesus Christ, that, Lord, you truly are the same yesterday, today and forever. And we can say with the prophet Jeremiah, nothing is too difficult for thee. Lord, we pray, Lord, that we will get our eyes off the circumstances and get our eyes on you. And Lord, let us be fixed upon you, the author and the finisher of faith, in Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Can we sing the hymn, Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
to the point.
Take the scriptures down. I was saying to the young man today, you mightn't think it in this meeting, but I do preach a lot on healing compared to other places. And not when I say me, I mean our fellowship in general. We preach, we emphasize healing. And a lot of people condemned me for that. Now that doesn't worry me a bit. But that's what I said, I was telling young one man, this is how I explained it to him. I said, when you preach salvation, not everybody gets saved. Now, how many's going to get saved, that's up to God. That's not up to the man that's preaching. If that was up to the man that's preaching, which would be me or you, well, when we'd go out tonight and save everybody, wouldn't I? I would anyway. I'd save the lot. But it's nothing to do with me. All I do is preach the gospel, and them that believe are saved. So my job is not to decide who it's for or who it's not for. My job is for whosoever. That's the way I preach it. And I believe healing must be preached the same. We must preach healing to the whosoever. That God can heal all. All's not going to be healed. Just like all's not going to be saved. But the Lord can heal all. And the Lord can save all. And because some people say, well, they're all not healed, and sure as like saying they're all not saved, that doesn't change the fact that we'll stop preaching it. You could preach for a long time and only see one soul saved, but that one soul could go on and see a multitude saved. And D.L. Moody's a great testimony to prove that. Because during his conversion, when the man came to preach, there was two of a congregation. D.L. Moody was one of them. Now, you know, if you know anything about D.L. Moody, you know the thousands he reached. So it's not up to me and you how many get healed. And to blame a person, to blame the preacher whether they're healed or not healed, that's wrong. It's God's word. It's not your word or my word. It's God's word. And when we take faith in God's word, we must believe God's going to do it, obviously. Amen. But it's by believing and preaching it and saying it. So I'm going to keep on preaching and healing. And if some people don't like it, and I'm not talking about here, maybe listening in the night, but others, that doesn't bother me. And I'm going to be talking tonight about the purpose of spiritual gifts, and some people don't believe in them either, but that doesn't bother me either. Yeah. Because you take these things out of the Bible, you don't have much of a Bible left. We have to remember that the Bible is a supernatural book. And God is a supernatural God. Amen. Let us read from John 14, verse 26. And just remain seated. And if you are listening in the night, the Lord bless you. Mark these scriptures down. It won't be too long. And then we'll have a time of prayer. We'll turn it all off before that. And I would say to those that is at home, when we're going to have prayer here, you pray at home. Pray at home, wherever you are. And also, a friend of mine in Germany, a brother Joseph, was telling me the whole of Germany's locked down again. We know the South's locked down. There's a lot of places in lockdown. And we're not saying there's nothing there. But the whole thing, in my opinion, is over the top. That's my opinion. But even if somebody does take it, God can heal them. We saw that through the testimony of the man that was in hospital, the pastor. How many ever saw his testimony of where the cleaner came to him and everything? So the Lord raised him up. Medicine might have helped, but it's ultimately God that done it. Amen. Let's read verse 26 of John 14. And then we're going to read chapter 15, verse 26 as well. So it's chapter 14, verse 26, and chapter 15, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And we go across to chapter 15, verse 26. Chapter 15, verse 26 says this: But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Let us bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, we just humbly bow before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can come in this room to worship you and praise you and exercise our right of freedom to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are not come to point anyone to any man or system or movement, but to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to uplift your name this evening in this service. We want to magnify your name. Bless all that's in this room and bless all that's watching in this evening. And Father, we pray for anyone that maybe has contacted this COVID-19. We pray you'll heal them. and deliver them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, I do pray for all those suffering, as we've heard of recent with cancer, which is a real plague over this land. Lord, I pray you'll heal and deliver in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke every work of the devil now in Jesus Christ's name, and I take the promised Holy Spirit to help me, and I thank you that you will. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise God. I believe this is one of the keys in verse 26 of chapter 15. He shall testify of me. Now, I want to stress the purpose of spiritual gifts is not so that you have a brother or a sister that's lifted above the rest of the people, so that you can put them on a pedestal. That is not the purpose of the gifts, and if you think it is, you know nothing about gifts. The purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit we're going to see tonight is to edify the body of Jesus Christ, and ultimately is to testify of me, Jesus Christ. It is to help us to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the book of Acts is the blueprint for the real church, not the mock church, the real church. And God confirmed his word through the book of Acts continually with his apostles and servants by supernatural vindication, by supernatural signs, by gifts of spirit, and by wonders of spirit. God confirmed his word. The miraculous followed the early church. And we know the word of God tells us in Mark 16 that these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, if we claim to be true believers, we should believe that signs will follow us. We don't chase signs. Signs should follow the true believer, the true people of God. Signs should follow them according to the word of God. Now, if we feel we're not where we should be, then we need to seek God for more of the power of God, for more of the move of the Spirit of God amongst us and amongst others that need it. We certainly need the gifts of the Holy Spirit today more than ever. As I thought last night, I watched Spotlight again last night. I deliberately watched it because they said on there that thousands of people are not receiving their treatment because of this COVID-19 scare. People that are genuinely suffering and in need are afraid to go to the hospitals, they're afraid to go to the doctors. And many people that need operations, the operations are not happening, they've been put back. And many places, the numbers of people with COVID-19 is being exaggerated. There is people in the hospital, but not the numbers they're saying. It has been well exaggerated. Now, thinking of that, and we know it's there, we're not saying it's not, but I believe the real plague in this land is cancer. I believe that. And it's a terrible thing. Cancer is a terrible thing. And I'm telling you, if ever there was a time, you know, Paul said, call it earnestly, the best gifts of the Spirit. And there is the gift of healing, and there is the gift of working miracles. And if ever God was looking for young men that would be sincere enough and serious enough to seek the face of God, if it means fasting and praying, so be it. But God is looking for someone today that will take it serious enough, to get desperate enough, to seek God enough, so that one of these gifts can genuinely come upon them and operate the way it did in the early church. We need that today. Now, we can look back for encouragement to great men of God like John G. Lake, A.L. Wigglesworth, William Branham. All them men were wonderful servants of God, but they're not here today. But Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And also the word of God says God is no respecter of persons. If you are sincere at you, you expect God to bless you, because the Word of God is absolutely clear that the Word of God tells us, the book of Acts, if we've been evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more, hallelujah, will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him. Hallelujah. Oh my, is the Word of God wonderful? We need to be praying for rain. Former rain and the latter rain. I tell you, people talk it's all fulfilled. I want to tell you, according to the Bible, we are living in the last days today. And God is able and fit today to pour out the Holy Spirit amongst His people as He was ever fit before, because He says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Hallelujah. I believe the ultimate purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ. It is not to glorify some movement or a man so that we will praise a man above another man. I do not believe that's the purpose of the sending of the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the sending of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Say amen. And I tell you, genuine gifts of God will glorify Jesus. They will magnify the Lord. They will point you to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let us read John 16, verse 8 and verse 13 and 14. And this is just a platform or a base for some of the things I'm going to be saying this evening. Hallelujah. Verse 8 of John 16. And when He is come, I like that right there. That's the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls it the promise of the Father. So God promised the Holy Spirit would come. And you know that Jesus did many works when He was here on earth, but when you read the book of Acts, here's what you read. All that Jesus began is to be continued. If something has begun, it's not finished. And the Holy Spirit, it's not the acts of the apostles, but it is the acts of the Holy Spirit in the apostles. Hallelujah. How many believe that? And we need the same Holy Spirit to act in us as it acted in them. Not the our token. People talk about our token or the token. There's no scripture for our token or the token. That's something somebody made up. Now you know there's no Bible for that talk. It is one Spirit. Yes. Are you baptized into one body? Yes. By one Holy Spirit. And the same Holy Spirit that fell on the day of Pentecost is the same Holy Spirit when He is come. Hallelujah. That's the same Holy Spirit we need tonight. Not some other movement or some other thing, but we need the same Holy Spirit that the early church had. We need it tonight. Glory to God. He will reprove the world of sin and of unrighteousness and of judgment. Howbeit, He, the Spirit of truth. Now people talk, how can I know the truth? Study, 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 that's all good. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, you have received the Spirit of truth. Here's another thing. When you receive the Holy Spirit will lead you and He will guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. The genuine Holy Spirit will not lead you into error. That's contrary to the Word of God. He will lead you to truth. And Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit is truth, the Spirit of truth. And we know the Spirit of truth, and when we have the Spirit of truth, we have a discerner within us. Oh, you hear me tonight? The Holy Spirit within you is a discerner. And that Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, can discern between right and wrong. How many knows that? He is a discerner. Hebrews tells us of the very thoughts and the very intents of the heart. The Holy Spirit, praise God. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. I'm enough. He won't get on like a clown with holes in his trousers, trying to act like the world, to be like the world, jumping about in the front. I'm enough, you're enough, and this type of stuff. That's not the Bible. I'm sorry, that's not the gospel. That's not, nowhere do you hear the disciples talking like that. God needs no gimmick. Are you hearing me tonight? God needs no gimmick or no modern thing to help the gospel along. The gospel the early church had was enough. It was glorifying Jesus Christ. And I tell you, God needs no gimmicks today. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Hallelujah. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, a man filled with the Spirit could get up with nothing in his hand and preach a sermon. Because the Holy Spirit could come on him and give him the words to speak. How many knows that's the Bible? I know we use notes, Norm. I'm not saying don't. But notes on their own means nothing. Because Paul said the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And how we need, the problem today is we need the Holy Ghost. That's the truth of it. We need the power of God, and the power of God only comes with the Holy Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now I'm also going to show you this evening, if you have received the Holy Spirit, he never leaves you forever. Never forever. Isn't that tremendous? He's always with you. And even you might think he's not, the Bible says he's with me forever. Now that's the Holy Spirit, but then he can send a fresh anointing, a fresh outpouring, and we need the whole lot. Amen. We need the whole lot, praise God. He shall glorify me, verse 14. He shall glorify me, he shall receive his mind, and shall show it unto you. Who will the Holy Spirit glorify? Well, I'll tell you, our man, no, he won't glorify your man, or somebody else's man. No, if he does, that's not the Holy Spirit, that's flesh. The Holy Spirit will glorify the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. He goes further, he says, he will not give his glory to another. He won't cause you to do man worship. No. Like Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to do, even to the prophet. And that prophet being Daniel. And you know, Nebuchadnezzar built a golden image to Daniel. And he said, if you don't fall down and worship it, he said to the three Hebrew, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you will be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. But because they knew the same God Daniel knew. And because he knew the word of God said, thou shalt have no other gods before thee. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and only him shall thy serve. They refused to bow, even though it was an image to Daniel. And I believe God does not want us to bow today to any images of any man. No matter how holy they are. And I tell you, there are gathering, there's holy man gathering them. I saw another clip of the night, I won't get off track on it tonight, but they're going to gather around the holy man at the end time. And I tell you, the Satan will eventually manifest in that man. And they will worship him, and they will wander after him. And that's the book of Revelation warns us and tells us. And I believe this is a wee training program the world's going through now at the moment to prepare them for what will eventually come. There's more to this than what the media is saying. Let me say it like that. Praise God. But we're going to covet earnestly for the Holy Spirit. Amen? 1 Corinthians tells us in chapter 12 verse 7, but the manifestation of Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So the Holy Spirit is not given to you in a way of a gift, so that you are happy and edified. It will do that. Don't misunderstand me. Tongues is for the edifying of yourself, but it's also greater when it's done publicly and interpreted. I will see that later if we have time. But it is ultimately to edify the body of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. in a church, in a fellowship. And I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about universal now, not just this room. I'm talking about universally. A gift of the Holy Spirit is to edify the church of God. And you notice something? When God visited different men down through history, right up to recent times with the gift of healing, when God visited them, he didn't say to them, take the gift of healing to your own assembly only. You never read that. You don't hear that. You'll hear that the commission saying, thou shalt take it to the nations of the world. Kings, priests, and monarchs. That's what was said. It was for the whole body. Amen. And for the unsaved as well, as a sign from God that they might see the power of God. And let's be honest about it. If ever there was a time when the unbeliever needed to see a manifestation of the power of God, it's today. How many believes that? I believe it. We need to be praying that God helps us so that we just don't have a letter that's dead. But we need the power of God to come behind the word of God and to manifest amongst us. And as individuals, whether who's preaching, it makes no difference. Every one of us should expect it, that God will honor his own word. When I first started to preach, I prayed to the Lord and I said, Lord, if you want me to preach, when I preach tonight, save a soul. And one of the first times I preached, somebody got saved. And you know, when we started our very first service, we officially had, that was the fleece led before God, that if we were meant to do it, somebody would get saved. And a brother Nigel came to the Lord that very service, and he's still serving the Lord today. God, don't be afraid to ask God for something to confirm to you or to me. God is able to do it. It's scripture. It's all through the Bible. Amen. How many believe that tonight? Look at verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 14. But he that prophesieth speaketh on demand to the edification, exhortation, and comfort. So when a prophecy is given, it is to edify the body of Jesus Christ. It's to edify you. Praise God. Now if you're edified, it helps you. It doesn't pull you down, it helps you. Now we know the Holy Spirit can convict of sin. We already read that. We know that. But it can edify you. Praise God. Now, if you go out of a service and the gifts operated and you said, boy, I was edified tonight, then it's not wonderful. Or the Lord spoke to you. Maybe you're praying about something and the Holy Spirit could come and confirm to you the very thing you're praying about, and maybe an answer to prayer. That's how the Holy Spirit works and moves. Praise God. Now, the ultimate purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ taught that after his ascension, the Holy Spirit would come to dwell within the hearts of the believers. The Holy Spirit had come to live on us. To live within us. The Holy Spirit wants to live in you. He wants to dwell in your heart. And when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your heart, he will never leave you. You might say you never felt the presence of the Spirit tonight. I believe you can have that manifestation. I believe that. And we want that. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit doesn't leave your heart. And I'm going to show you that from the Word of God. Because we can't base anything on what we think. It must be based on the solid foundation, which is the Word of God. Now we know we need fresh anointing, all them things. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit comes to you, he doesn't come and leave you, you know, like that. And even when they didn't feed him, it's like the story of the man walking through the desert. And he said, Lord, you know, when I was getting things tight, there was only one set of footprints. When I looked back, I only saw one set of footprints. That's when you left me. And God said, no, that's when I carried you. You were getting it tight and I carried you. And I want to tell you, when you're saved and you go through difficult times, times you don't know how you're going to get through them, it is then that the Holy Spirit's a comforter. That the Holy Spirit carries you. The Bible says he beareth you up upon his shoulders. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. Luke 24, verse 49. And here's what it says, "Behold, I stand the promise of my Father upon you." Now, as I've said before, if something comes upon you, you're going to know about it. Now, I believe there is where people say no sensation, that's well and good. But when you take the majority and throw the blanket over this Bible, it doesn't talk a lot like that, does it? It talks about coming upon you, falling upon you, filling you, and may I say, thrilling you. Amen. Like an old brother said years ago when he was baptized with Spirit, it was like hot liquid love pouring through him. He felt it and he knew it. Praise God. And here he says, "I will send the promise of my Father upon you." If rain fell upon you tonight, you'd get wet, wouldn't you? If it was a heavy shower of rain and you stood in it long enough, it would soak you through. And may God give us a heavy shower of the Holy Spirit rain tonight, may I say it like that, in this service this evening, till we're soaked through by the Spirit of Almighty God. "But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." The Holy Spirit comes to give you power. Praise God. And we need the power of God more today than ever. I believe that with all my heart. We need the power of God. Tarry. Now I know God can give you without tarrying, but if you feel you haven't got it enough, tarry for it, do you get it? "Wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Hallelujah. There's no substitute for waiting upon God. I believe that tonight. John 7, look at John 7, verse 37 and 39. Praise God. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Hallelujah. Not wonderful. "But this speak he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." So after you've believed on Jesus, your next step's the Holy Ghost. Amen. He wants you, after you believe, to receive the Holy Spirit. This is what he's saying. "Which they that believe in him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because of Jesus was not yet glorified." But the desire, the will of Jesus, after you believe, is to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, there's power with it. There's no such thing as having the Holy Spirit and no power. That's a no. It's not possible. I don't believe that's possible. That's like saying you have an 800 horsepower engine under you and you're putting the throttle and nothing's happening. I'll tell you, no, you put your foot on her, there's power. And the Holy Spirit gives you power. Amen. To pray prayers of faith. To bind devils and demons. That's what the Bible says. Casting down all unbelief. Casting out devils and demons in his name. That's the Bible. Now look at John 14, verse 16 and 18. John 14. Verse 16 and 18, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you for a week." No. Till the next one comes with a suitcase revival. See, a lot of people are waiting for some great preacher to come, but I want to tell you the greatest preacher there is here, the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's not some great person we need. It's the Holy Spirit we need. And he is great. Amen. He will glorify the Lord Jesus. And we need the Holy Spirit to come. And he says he will be with you forever. Hallelujah. So when you get the Holy Spirit, he's with you forever. Now there's times when he can manifest upon you. There's times when he can fresh anoint you. And all them things, we believe all that. But he never leaves you. Amen. Because the Word of God says here, he's with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Now there's a scripture, and many people say, oh, but they have the Holy Spirit as well, and they're unbelievers. Well, that's a contradiction. How many knows that's a contradiction? People say, no, they said the Spirit could come on somebody, but to receive the Holy Spirit, you'd have to be born again. How many knows that? If you received the Holy Spirit, you'd be born again. Because Jesus said, after you believe, you receive the Holy Ghost. And here he says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth them not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, I don't care what comes on somebody and what they can do, but I'm talking about receiving the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, there's a man who received the Holy Spirit and he's not saved. I believe that's a contradiction to Scripture myself. Now, you say, well, he was anointed. That might be. He could be anointed. We know the Bible talks about anointed ones and all that. And the rain falls on the just and the unjust, but it doesn't say they're saved. And it doesn't say they've received the Spirit. Something might come on them. And don't forget the Bible talks about lying, signs and wonders. But we want the real thing. And the Holy Spirit doesn't give lying, signs and wonders. The genuine Holy Spirit gives the real signs and wonders. Amen. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Hallelujah. So you receive the Holy Spirit, he never leaves you, and he can come to you at any moment. Praise God. I tell you, when you're feeling down, you need to pray for the Comforter to come. Amen. And if you want to feel his presence, if you want to say it like that, I believe he'll let you. I believe that. I really believe it. Look at verse 7 of John 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send them unto you. When Jesus was with them, they had no need for him. But after Jesus left them and he went back to heaven, and we know on the day of Pentecost, he poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit that he may be with the people of God. What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming? To glorify Jesus. I really believe there's too much lifting up of men. I believe that. And I don't care who the man is. I believe we need to lift up Jesus Christ. I don't believe God's happy when we lift up men above Jesus. How can we do it? How can any man be lifted above Jesus? There's no man can save you, only the Lord. It's only the Lord that saves you. So therefore we need to give him all the praise and all the glory. Amen. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4-5 of Acts 1. Acts chapter 1. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. And I tell you, if the first church, let's put it like that, if the first church, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, come on now, if the first church, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to wait in the upper room for the promise of the Holy Spirit, for the seal of God, for the token, then every single one of us need the same seal of God and the same token of we're going to make heaven. And the thing that God's looking for is that token, the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, we need to have that token on display. Amen. The token is your prayer. That's how you get out of here. The token. And you couldn't have the token till the blood was shed. But when the blood was shed, the life of the blood of Jesus was released. And you know, Romans says that the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you. It will also quicken, make alive your mortal body. That's the Holy Ghost. And we need the Holy Spirit. There's not enough preaching on the Holy Ghost. I believe we need to preach the Holy Spirit just as much as we preach about the blood. We need to talk about the Holy Spirit. We need to be praying for the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be need the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You listen to media. Everybody has an idea. But it's not the word of the Lord. Did you notice that? Everybody has an opinion, and there are some of them very good. But is it thus saith the Lord? Could you stake everything upon it? You couldn't on a lot of it. It's only guesswork. But I tell you, the disciples weren't working with guesswork. They were working with a genuine leadership of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we need the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can lead us. The Holy Spirit is the helper, comforter. Listen to this. In the original Greek, this title is parakletos, which literally means one called alongside to help. That is a helper, a consoler, an advocate. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one that comes to you to help you. I'm having a difficult week, brother. Well, the Holy Spirit can help you. According to John 14:16, the Holy Spirit will teach the disciples and guide them into all truth, but causing them to remember and comprehend the teaching of Jesus Christ. And listen to me. Here's an important thing that's missed. I believe this is missed today. With a lot of what's preached today, this is missed. People are not remembering what Jesus preached. You say, brother, what do you mean? That's what I mean. People are preaching all different things, but they're not remembering what Jesus preached. Remember what Jesus did and taught. Jesus went about everywhere doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And remember that his message has never changed. Hebrews 13:8. His power has never changed. His presence has never changed. He's the same. And his ministry is the same. The ministry of Jesus has never changed. You hear great preachers on and they say, now here's what some people say. There's an anointing of such and such a great man up for grabs. Now that's the biggest load of waffle. I'll tell you that right now. I do not believe in such false doctrine as that. Such the great brother, his anointing's up for grabs. Is it his or is it God's? Who give it to him? God always has the original. The Holy Spirit's there for who'd seek God. That's true. But this business of God uses a certain man and his anointing's up for grabs, you can be his wee puppet or power, that's nonsense. God doesn't work like that. Why did God have seven church age messengers if that's the case? Why did God not have Paul on the same thing in each one of them? Why was every single one of them men different? And they were different. Their characters were different. The message different. One leaned towards saved and lost. One leaned towards predestination. But the whole thing together boils down. It was for a reason. God does not want you or me to be like some other man. He wants us to be like Jesus. It's not the ministry of this man or this man we need. It's the ministry of Jesus Christ we need to see operating. His ministry. The ministry of Jesus Christ is the same. It's never changed. I'm closing just in a moment. Guide you into all truth. Causing them to remember. Comprehend the teaching of Jesus. He wants us to remember the things Jesus done and said. How are we going to do it? We need to read it. Quite a time back, I began to study more on the things Jesus did, and I was blessed. I was blessed at the miracles of Jesus. And then somebody said that such and one did more miracles than Jesus, when then did he not need the Lord? See, that's a false statement. Nobody did no more miracles than Jesus, because if it's a man of God, filled with the Spirit of God, he never done them. Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, did them in him. And you know the Bible says no one could do greater than Jesus. Amen? And when you read greater works than these, should you do, the original says more. And you know the Bible says of all was written that Jesus done, there wouldn't be enough books in the whole world. And I tell you, the world's a big place. What you're reading here is not everything he done. This is only a bit. But there's a lot, isn't it? Walked in the water, raised the dead, cleansed the leper, opened the blinded eyes, cast out devils with the power of his word, calmed the storm, power over creation. Praise God. The Holy Spirit teaches. The Spirit in them would not become a new source of authority, but would impart understanding from the mind of God. See, we've had so much talk, we need another revelation. We need the power of God.
Yes.
If ever we have enough revelation, brothers, let's be honest about it. We've had at least 30 years of revelation. Is that the truth? We need the power of God. We need to be praying for a manifestation of the power of God. If someone's dying with cancer tonight, or if someone has caught COVID-19, to tell them about some great revelation, they'll not know what you're talking about. But if you can pray for them and the power of God comes, that'll do it. That'll do it. Power of God. And I tell you that you don't need to be smart to get that. And I'm going to come to close. Because the Bible tells us the disciples were unlearned and ignorant men. But they took knowledge they'd been to Jesus. Hallelujah. And all that the world would know that me and you have been to Jesus, so that we would not just be, the letter form, but in this, our lives should be written, epistle, seen, and read of all men. The word should be in us. Let's come and pray tonight. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to pray, have a time of prayer, and I'll turn this off. And you that is watching tonight at home, when we're praying, I want you to pray. Pray and believe God. Pray for the power of God. That the Holy Spirit will fill you and move you. And I tell you, the genuine Holy Spirit, you'll know the Word of God when you get it. It'll open the Word of truth to you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit's real. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray you'll fill every single one of us afresh with the Holy Spirit. For those watching in this evening, may the Holy Spirit come upon that man, that woman, that boy, that girl. For those suffering tonight, Lord Jesus, may the Holy Ghost touch them and deliver them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. We know, Lord, that it's by your stripes that you received 2,000 years ago on the cross, that we're healed. You sent your word and you healed them. You were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and with your stripes we are healed. Father, help us this evening. I pray for everyone in this room and those that's listening in with a genuine heart, with genuine sincerity, that you will give every single one of us a desire to be filled and led by the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Let us just continue to pray and seek the Lord tonight.